We're going to be opening to Matthew chapter 1. Pastor Kurt had sort of a Christmas message ready last week. Last week we weren't here because of the snow. And I had a great time in the snow with my kids. Frosty melted yesterday. So he was about this high and he just went down, 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 down. And melted away. And, you know, a lot of times that happens to us. A lot of times in our life, we're walking with the Lord and we're strong, but the heat starts to heat up, pressures, worries of life, desires for wealth, fatigue, things around us. And you know what? We begin to melt. We get smaller and smaller instead of larger. This song we're singing with everything. But instead, the opposite is happening. And today we're going to be talking about Christmas as a battle. And I'd like to encourage you that in 2011, when you hit the wall, when you get the pressures of life, the worries of life, whatever they may be for you, that you would begin to battle. Battle in worship. Man, when you start focus on Jesus instead of the things around you, life starts to change. That song is a great one to battle with. To battle in prayer. To really, not just one of these wimpy prayers, oh Lord, help me, to actually speak out and cry out, Lord, I need you today. To battle in that way. To battle with a friend. Give them a call. Man, I'm having a really bad day. I'm not feeling good. Go ahead, share with your heart, and then say, let's pray. And ask the Spirit to come and fill you so that you can continue to battle. Today, we're going to look at Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Bring your Bibles to church. Open them right now. And let's get started. Chapter 1. If you would pray with me. Father God, we ask that today you would show up, because there's a lot of words that can be spoken, but they don't really have any power. There's a lot of thoughts that can be entertained, but they may not be of you. So we ask that you would come today and speak to our hearts and our minds to give us 1, 2, 3 things that we can take away, Lord, and live for. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we pray. Amen. First, we're going to start with an activity. When you think of Christmas, what is 1, 2, 3 things that come to your mind? Okay? And you got to be real. Don't everybody, okay? If you want to, if it's you, that's fine. You say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Okay? Otherwise, what comes to your mind when you think of Christmas, okay? And I want you just to connect with someone real quick. Turn around, whatever, have a good time. Just tell them what happens when you think of Christmas, okay? So get together with someone and let them know. Okay, what's some things you came up with? Go ahead, yell them out. Trees. Santa. I bought a Santa hat yesterday. Just as enjoyable. I really like Nick's Santa Claus shirt he had. I didn't quite go that far. Refreshment. Good. Okay, Claymation Rudolph. Food. All right. Presents. You know, and we get a lot of this that, you know, Christmas is this nice, soft, gentle, peaceful, cute baby time. Right? And when we look at the scriptures, we actually get something that's quite a bit different. In fact, you know, when we think of peace, we a lot of times we think of Luke chapter 2, verse 4, where it says, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests." We get this peace, cute type of aspect. But when we look at Matthew chapter 1, 18:25, Matthew chapter 2, and throughout the scriptures beyond, we get more of a battle. And it's a battle for your salvation. It's lightness, light coming into the darkness to pierce it. It is a battle in the spiritual realm we don't even see to save me, to save you, to save the world. It's a battle for forgiveness of sin, freedom. It's for salvation. So, let's read about this battle. And I think we might have it up here. Yeah. This is how the birth of Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. Awesome. That is great. Marriage are wonderful, right? But before they came together, she was found to be child with the Holy Spirit. Whoa. Something new is happening. And this is the first time it's ever happened. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man, he did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. Uh-oh. Big problems. Divorce. But after he had considered this, angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus." Why? "Because he will save his people from their sins." Explanation: all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel." Love that name, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, good man, and took Mary home as his wife, but he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. There, verse 21. They name him Jesus. Why? Because he will save his people from the sin. It's God's plan. God's plan for salvation. Even the guy's name, Jesus. The Greek for the Hebrew, Joshua. God saves. That is Jesus' job description. The one who saves. What do, Jesus? I save people. How's it all going to happen? Well, we don't know when he's born, but when we read the rest of the story, it's a big-time battle. You're going to die on a cross. Take our sins. Forgive us. Fight that battle in heaven and on earth so that we can have life forever and forever glorify the Lord. Because He will have the victory and He will rise from the dead, which we know happened. Now, Satan's got a big problem, right? God's plan for salvation of all of us, Satan's not happy. He's like, okay, if Jesus comes and is born and grows up and dies on that cross, game plan fulfilled. They win. Victory. So Satan's like, it's not going to happen. I'm going to work things, work so it doesn't happen. And Satan, that's what he's about. Destroying life, bringing death. You know, as we read throughout here, we see here that there's a problem with the whole birth, which we'll talk about today. In chapter 2, who comes on the scene, if you look in your Bible? Magi come and they talk to King Herod. Herod finds out the baby, and then he has this game plan of his own. I'm heading to Bethlehem, and all children 2 and under, I'm killing. Looking for baby Jesus. That's a battle. That's some warfare. We see Jesus grow up. And the first thing he does after he's filled with the Spirit, he's led into the desert and is tempted by who? Satan. First test, first battle. Who will you depend on? Will it be God or will it be your own strength? Is basically that whole play out. Jesus keeps going back. I will depend on God. I will depend on His Word. That needs to be our battle cry. Right after that, Luke chapter 4, we see after he says, yeah, I'm basically the man. I'm the Son of God. I'm the one who's bringing salvation. The people do what? They try to take him out to a hill and throw him off the hill. Things aren't so cute anymore. Right down to the Garden of Gethsemane, before he even goes there, good guy, friend, he was walked through with, says, man, I got to go to the cross, I got to die, 3 days I'll rise from the dead. Peter's like, no, you're not going to do that. What does he say? Get behind me, Satan. Ouch. In the garden, Lord, take this cup from me. Right to the cross is a battle for you and I, for the world's salvation. So Christmas, a battle for your salvation. First battle is against death. When we read Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, says his mother was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child with the Holy Spirit. Now we got a big problem there. Okay? First of all, it's wonderful. After 400 years of darkness, God is speaking. Mary's with child. Prophecies are being fulfilled. The Savior is coming. The action plan for salvation is in motion. This is awesome. Of course, most of us don't know the script until the end of the Gospels, right? We have to look back on it. So we got a major problem. The fact that Mary is with child but hasn't been with a man. In Jewish culture, that is a no-no. You don't want to be pregnant outside of being married. Because the law says that with certain circumstances, you're going to be stoned. Okay. Now, we're not talking little pebbles. Okay, stoning. We're talking stoning as equal you die. Okay, if Mary is stoned, then guess what happens to Jesus? It's over. Salvation plan is over. Now, Joseph knew that somehow she was with child, but he also knew it wasn't with me. Now you gotta imagine, these are real people. This is Joseph's love. First love. I love her. And she's with child, and I know it wasn't me. He's probably mad, angry, upset. I'm out of here. But I'd like to notice something. It says in verse 19 what happened. Right? He's like, whoa, I'm engaged, we're supposed to be married. That's about the same as adultery. She should be stoned according to the law. But Joseph in verse 19 says, because Joseph, her husband, was what? What does it say there? A righteous man. And if you have your outline, you can write in there. Joseph fights using God's righteousness. He's a man of God. And back in Deuteronomy, which he quotes in the temptation, basically, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And Jesus adds to that, love your neighbor as yourself. This is the type of righteousness. And because of his righteousness, it says he doesn't want to expose her. What does that mean? He doesn't want to tell a bunch of people that, whoa, she's pregnant, we got problems, everybody come and stone her. He says, so he doesn't expose her. Now, Joseph is caught a little bit here because this is a small town. We're not talking like major New York City, 8 million people and one person and hardly nobody knows. This is a small town. People find out that she's pregnant. Everybody knows she's pregnant. And this is good stuff to talk about and begins to spread. So the fact that Joseph wants to divorce her, he has good reason. One, she's pregnant, it's not me. And others will assume that it was him. Right? Joseph, we know what you've been doing. So, his reputation forever is known as, yeah, Joseph, we know what you've been doing, when they see him in this small town. And not only that, his family is shamed. So he has good reason to say, hey, something else was going on, I don't know, I'm just divorcing her, we're going to, you know, try to keep things quiet and move away. I'm sure he's angry, his heart is broken. But because of God's righteousness, it says, he decides not to expose her. He decides to fight the spiritual battle here. Okay? This righteous, he's a righteous man, doesn't mean that he's self-righteous. It means he's God-righteous. And there's a big difference, right? I am righteous. When I say that, you're all thinking, yeah, pride. He's into himself. That's what we're thinking of. But Joseph has this God righteous, which is not self-focused, it's other-focused, which is totally what's going on here. He's saying, hey, bad situation, what's going on? Okay, because, you know, God, yeah, I'm just going to keep things quiet, move away, divorce, which is okay in the law. This is what happened. So first of all, she wasn't stoned, and so the battle against death is kind of avoided. But there's another battle going on, and the second battle is about abandonment. And you can write that in your outline. And this is a serious battle that goes on today. The battle against abandonment. Verse 19 says he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Okay? He was betrayed, as though he felt, so he's going to run and hide. He's going to leave Mary and leave that child who is in the womb. This is a battle against this separation, this leaving, this abandonment. And with abandonment, if you've ever been abandoned or felt abandoned, there is deep pain. Can be an indirect abandonment, it can be a direct abandonment. Either way, it comes with a pain. And the pain that is there is going to happen to Mary and to Jesus is going to be this pain of divorce. Some of you know people. Some of you have been affected by this. It's also the pain that will come of the growth with no father there. Basically, we're talking divorce, I'm out of here. He doesn't know his name yet, but we'll just say, Jesus, you're on your own as a little kid, as a little boy. There's pain there. This abandonment, whenever it comes into our life, it shapes us. We quickly begin to feel rejection. I was rejected. Thoughts that come to our mind from abandonment are, no one loves me. No one wants me. I'm sort of a shame or a waste to people. From the concept and the pain of abandonment. How do you fight abandonment? Really takes a movement of God, because whenever there's abandonment, there's a void, and that void needs to be filled, and an intercession needs to take part, a touch from the Lord, a presence from God for Joseph, right? Joseph, he reacts the way we all react. I was abandoned, so I will abandon you. You abandon me, I'll abandon you. Mom and Dad abandoned me, so I'll go around abandoning everybody else. But this is what God does, and He comes and he laser beam, Joseph. Verse 20. But after Joseph had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Okay, this must have been super real. Joseph, son of David, names him. Do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Boom. Okay? Don't do it. Don't be afraid. This is legit. She will give birth to a son. You are to name him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. What is this? This is a fulfillment of a prophecy. And I love this part, because even for Joseph right there, and for the whole world, this concept of abandonment, we'll call him Emmanuel. He is with you. He is with you. Did you ever notice that in the Old Testament, the New Testament, when somebody goes into a battle and they're really scared? Not really much happens other than Jesus or God comes and says, I will be with you. And we look at that, we're like, man, I need more than that. How about a M16 or something big, you know? Or, you know, like some big, or some words that I can really nail the person with. But the only thing that God gives us, He says, I'll give you my presence. I'll be with you. You know, that's the same as my son and daughter. The other day, we got home and the trunk was open on this lady's car. I don't know, it's happened a few times, but so I'm like, Nate, go over and tell her trunk's open again. Okay? He's like, no, I don't want to go. He's all scared, he's shy, and I'm like, yeah, I hope he gets over that, but understand. So Melan says, I will go with you. And they go together. And he's like, yeah, I'm going now. I'm tough. I can do this. Why? Only one reason. Mom's with us. God with us. I hope that becomes real for you. God is with you. In real life. Right now. Emmanuel. Joseph. You abandon me, I will abandon you. Jesus, God, Joseph, no, don't be afraid. Don't divorce. It's from the Holy Spirit. Take her home. Marry her. This is a big plan of salvation. We're going to make it happen. A lot of times, we feel the same. And we have to fight this abandonment with the true Father, Abba Father, Spirit in our heart that God gives us, knowing that God is with us. In John 1, it says, the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. Romans 8:15, God has given us a Spirit of adoption. And we are called sons and daughters. You are a son and daughter. No matter who you are, God is with you. Now, the presence of God comes to fight this divorce, this separation. Okay? And Joseph, in the end, fights with obedience. And we see it in verse 24. After all this happens, Joseph wakes up. He's got a choice. Okay, God, I know you said that to me, but I'm still going through with my plan. But he says, no, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. Right in your outline, obedience. Sounds so simple, not so easy. Obedience is basically lordship in your life. 2011, right now, past years, years to come. Is he Lord of the different areas of your life? The areas that you battle could be fear. It could be some sin. It could be abandonment from the past. Different things. Is he the Lord, the one that drives your car, the captain of your boat? Is he Lord of everything? And Joseph's saying, I will obey. I will take her home. Even if this disgraces me, disgraces my family, shames my family, I'm going to do what God tells him to do, right? Again, this is first time ever in history. Woman impregnated by the Holy Spirit. Because of Joseph's righteousness, because of his obedience, he battles for our salvation. Now, obedience, it's not always so easy, is it? Mayla and I signed up for the Y. We go and work out. About a week ago, 2 weeks ago on Monday, I was there. Monday's my day off, so I'm like, I'll take it easy, go in, work out. Monday, I really like to relax. So after the workout, get a shower, coming out. YMCA is really cool. They got like Bible verses on the board over there in Irmo. They actually have a basket with Bible verses you can take. It's really cool. I usually don't take the verses. I don't know. I'm like, I don't read the Bible all the time, preach and all the verses, you know. I usually don't take them. This time I'm heading past the basket and it's like the Lord says, take a verse. I'm like, why? Okay. Take a verse. I'm heading out the door and I'm reading the verse. Cool. And as I'm reading it, I'm passing a lady who looks like she's from the Middle East with her daughter. And she goes in, I hold the door for her, she goes in, come out, and God's like, give the verse to her. I'm like, I kind of take, and I'm in the middle of the road, okay, where you enter. I'm like, oh man, Lord, you know, she's going to think I'm weird. She's going to think I'm a little crazy. I don't know her. I'm a man. She's a woman. You know, this isn't going to work. So I'm like kind of, you know, having this conversation with God, heading back, and I'm like, this is not going to work. I head for my car. About as ready as I'm getting ready to get in my car to open it, God says, give it to her. I'm like, oh, okay. Time of obedience, right? And I'm like, okay, conversation again. Okay, Lord. You know, if I turn around and I go back to the glass doors, I look in there and she's there, then I'll go in and I'll give her this verse. And I'm like, most people just take their card, beep it, and go for the... No, it just takes like 2 or 3 seconds. Beep your card and head in. So I'm like, she's probably not there. I got this okay. So I'm heading back, you know, I'm like going back and forth. And I get over there and there she is. Got to do it. So in I go. I walk up sort of beside her on her side and I say, I feel like I need to give you this verse. She said, thank you. I was like, yeah, God is good. I said, have a nice day. And walked out. What was the verse? John 3:16. That verse wasn't for me.
verse wasn't for me. That verse was for her.
Now, I don't know what's going to happen after all that. It doesn't matter. Fight the battle. Because the battle we fight is the same as the one that went on there for people's salvation. Where are we at? How about your righteousness? Joseph fought with his righteousness. How about your life? In fact, maybe a good question is, do you have somebody in your life, a man or a woman of righteousness, that fights for your salvation? Some of you are saying, I'm already saved. Maybe you know that person. Yeah, I can think of people in our church that fight for people's salvation because of their righteousness. Not the self-righteousness, this God-righteousness. I love God, I love people. Simple as that. Or maybe are you that person or becoming that person of righteousness for the people around you? You know, a lot of times that's awkward, especially for you who are in college or high school, right? Just like me and my little conversation. I don't want to be weird. You know, I don't know this lady. I want to fit in. But is righteousness more important? Loving God, living for Him. Obedience. Is there a higher calling to obey rather than not obey? That was my whole struggle. I'm like, man, yeah, I should obey, but I got this battle. I need to obey. I need to. Because something can happen when we obey. God brings salvation to the world through His Son. And for some reason, He's decided to work through the church. That's you and I. Let's pray. Jesus, I pray that right now, right in the beginning here, Lord, this year, that You would give us more of Your presence. That You would come and speak to us like You spoke to Joseph. You would come alongside us, God, to empower us to do things that we never thought we would do before. God, that Your righteousness would ring in our ears to battle sins that we fought for many years. To battle things that we see, things that we felt, past hurts and pains and habits and hang-ups. And God, that You would Your Holy Spirit just empower us to be people of obedience so that we can see You work, God, and be amazed with everything, Lord, with everything. We want to give You praise all for You, Jesus. 2012 and beyond. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we pray.